If everyone knows me as Wicked.
Hey, Craig.
Harder to change your name to Luminate, because why?
Because now, if it's listed on the podcast as
Yes,
special
I was
guest
thinking.
Wicked.
Wicked, aka Lumina.
Do you want us? We can drop an exclusive tonight. You're changing your name to Lumina.
But I already tried to change my name to Lumina on PS4, but everyone has every variation of it. I can't find a good.
Actually, this would be a good topic for the podcast,
Yeah,
so
let's hold on all this.
yeah. Of course, you know, sometimes Sin brings an intro show anyway, so we may be good.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 95 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley Mac, Sin, Des Raven. How are you guys doing this lovely evening?
You know, the huge, super magical in yourself.
The huge.
Huge.
That works. The same old magical, the same old huge.
I mean, it definitely was magical for the fact that I enjoyed a tomahawk ribeye that I smoked and then seared. It was awesome.
Yeah, you put a picture in the Discord.
Yes.
For any of those that want to look at that and are not in the Discord, join our Discord, the Guardian Hub Discord. Links are on our website under About Us. But yeah, we have a food channel, and I saw that. That looked very tasty.
It was quite good. I did not complain. I enjoyed it.
Was that all for you?
Oh, no. Wife and I had some. We shared.
I just see
and then the kids.
Holding it like caveman style, just chewing.
I kind of wanted to. and I was afraid it was going to fall off the bone when I brought it in inside from the smoker, but it didn't. It worked out well. But yeah, I did some butter and thyme on it for the sear and did just light salt and pepper during the smoke phase.
Nice.
So what about you all? Do you all have any magical stories like that?
Well, I have a story. Last night when I was playing, my daughter started to get a little sick and throwing up. And this is a daughter that doesn't live with me full time, but she came over to visit. And I thought she was well asleep. And then I found out from my wife that she was feeling sick and feeling like going to throw up. So, you know, we were in that raid last night, Sin, and why I went AFK all of a sudden as an emergency. That was why. You know, well, family first, but
yeah, family
she's
first
feeling
people.
Better.
Yeah,
she didn't end up throwing up, but yeah, that was kind of crazy. I don't know. I just brought that story up. That just was top of mind, but does anything
well,
interesting?
As long as she's okay. That's the main thing.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah. Well, me and the wife just got done watching Child's Play today, the remake.
Ooh.
Because I got it for her birthday, and a huge horror nut, so. Which I've got to say, it's actually really good. It's actually really good.
Well, that actually helps me. I would put it on my list.
Yeah, like, especially, I mean, it's every bit as good as, like, the original movie, but definitely, you know, a different take on it. So it's very nice.
Okay.
I used to have nightmares about Chucky when I was a kid.
Oh, now you can have all new nightmares considering he's voiced by Mark Hamill in this movie. because my God, does Mark Hamill do a fantastic job? I mean, not that that was a concern of mine, because good Lord, he's been, like I told my wife, he's been voicing psychopaths for the last like 20 years.
Yeah. Chucky didn't scare me, but I think I remember my younger sisters being absolutely terrified by him. I would just want to watch it for the interesting factor to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I roll with like horror movies. I'm like, I'm not really super scared, but this is intriguing. So
yeah, exactly. So that's why I really love like the final. That's why I really love like the Final Destination series, because it's like this giant absurd Rube Goldberg machine of like things that happen. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have, gentlemen, a special guest tonight on the show for the first official time as a solo guest. He's been on in the past in our special Zoom meeting. We have the one, the only Wicked, a.k.a. Lumina. How are you doing?
Hello. That wasn't good. My throat clogged up the moment.
It's all good. You know,
sitting here in silence for so long, just drinking, and then the moment I need to talk, my throat's just like, nah, you're not going to do it.
We'll have our research assistants ping you next time, 60 seconds ahead of time, so you'll be prepared.
Yeah, sure.
Sin, get on that.
Oh,
yes, Sin.
I'll be sure. I'm going to make sure I put my PS4 controller down.
Yeah, he's just playing. Don't count on him doing anything. Do you like horror movies at all?
Do I?
Yeah.
Horror, psychological horror is my favorite. Like, a lot of horror movies, I don't really care for the jump scare aspect because it doesn't really make me remember the movie at all. It's not that entertaining to me. I usually like the... Maybe this is masochistic, but I normally like the mental pain. Or, like, being screwed with mentally. So, like...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good example of movies, but there's one that I cannot remember the name of. But it's basically, like, you think throughout the entire movie that it's... that this person's house is haunted, but in the end it's revealed that they're the ghosts haunting the house while people are trying to move into the house. So, like, movies like that, like thrillers and twists.
Yeah.
This is what I enjoy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like many different movie types, but you're right. There's definitely something to be said about that type rather than just the jump scare.
And not little creepy dolls roaming around.
I've only seen like one Chucky movie, I think. I think it was like one of the first ones. But
he's going to get you, Sin. He's going to get you.
Hey, that stuff is real. Especially if you used to have a My Buddy doll when that came around.
Oh, okay, I believe the movie you were talking about was The Others.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a fantastic freaking movie.
It's an amazing movie. Like, I was watching it with my friend who's, like, in the National Guard, and he said the one thing that ticked him off is when the person got a gun was that they didn't check to see if it was loaded. Because that's the number one rule, is if you get a gun, you check if it's loaded.
Yeah. Well, Wicked, again, we're glad to have you on tonight, and just want to ask you a couple questions just for the people that don't know you as well yet, or, you know, it's just fun for us to hear. Also, I just kind of want to hear about, like, what got you started in gaming in general, and then we'll talk about Destiny a little bit, what got you started in that, and then we'll talk about other games you're playing, too. We're going to have some fun topics tonight, but yeah, kind of tell us about maybe where, you know, the type of... You don't have to tell a city or anything, but the general area where you live and what got you into gaming and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, I live down in Georgia. I'm like, if you know where Atlanta is, I'm like an hour away from that. The beach is on one side of me and then the big city is on the other. So if I ever want to have any travel places, those are very nice places to go. But in terms of games, what got me started, it was really... on like the old box computer. There was a pinball game, a digital pinball game, and my family played the crap out of that to get the high score, and whoever had the high score in the house, I forgot what we did, but there was some reward, some privilege that the person with the high score got. And nice. Then And then my sister, who was into tech, hacked it and got 99999 max score. So,
nice.
So, so it was mainly, that was the start of it. And then I started to, after I got online more, started watching YouTube and stuff, I got into a lot of the other games. I think, like, the Fallout series was a game that I got into. Yeah, it was mainly Fallout that I played all the time. And then I, like, moved on to other MMOs, other RPGs. And then Destiny eventually came along. And I said, like, I watched people play Destiny on YouTube all the time, but I never wanted to get the game for myself. And then when I saw that Lumina came out, I was like, hey, now it's time to get it. And then I got the game, and here I am today. Fall into down to the into the deep end with you guys.
Wait, so you're okay? You didn't. You started the game because of Lumina? Seriously? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Mean, I should have known that. I know that's your always what you do, but I did not. Okay, so what about time frame was that in the Destiny cycle?
It was Season of Opulence. Okay. So I haven't been around for like ever, but I've watched people play the game since D1 was around. Okay. So that's why I'm aware about a lot of the little lore. Deep lore tidbits and how the game was and the history of the game, even though I didn't really play that far back.
Gotcha. All right, and then tell us about, I mean, you pretty much just main one character, but tell us about your whole build that you prefer along with Lumina and what your character is.
Yeah, so basically I play nothing but Warlock. I've played Hunter for about like 5 hours in PvP. And once in Leviathan at a first shot at the Acrius Catalyst, and I've played Titan literally once in Leviathan for the Acrius Catalyst as well. But on Warlock mostly, because as well, I like to run Middle Tree Dawnblade, of course, because that pairs well with Lumina, because with Lumina you can proc the Benevolent Dawn perk where it recharges all of your abilities rapidly. So that, I run a very ability-centered build. So, like, high stats and, like, discipline and recovery and all that. And mostly the main part, the main build, quote-unquote, is just Middle Tree Dawnblade, Lumina, and Starfire Protocol. So you can have two fusion grenades that can be converted into healing grenades, which just means more ability uptime, more overshields you can spam, especially in PvP. And that's mostly it. The mods come in sometimes, but the only mods I'm really using right now are like Lucent Blade or Pulse Wave, Charged with Light mods. That's really it.
And what do you, and I know it can change from time to time, so maybe tell us right now what you're enjoying most in the game. What do you kind of just do when you have some downtime?
What I enjoy, usually solo dungeon runs, like attempting dungeon runs, like either teaching people how to do them, or getting them collectibles, or just soloing dungeons. That's my favorite part of the game right now. Because I still have yet to actually finish like solo Prophecy or solo Shadow Throne, but solo Pit of Heresy I can do easily now. It's like not even a hard. But yeah, mostly just dungeons. That's really where I sit in the game right now.
Yeah, I remember running some Pit of Heresies with you at least quite a bit. I don't know how many different crew teaching them it, or just, you know, you're always willing to come in and help out Prophecy. Also, I know that I haven't even technically gotten the flawless Pit of Heresy yet with the team, which is, I know, pretty darn easy, but I think I was going to run it with you once and then something happened, but you're on top of mind, you know, whenever I want to run that. Get some ideas from you.
Yeah, usually if the person really just doesn't want to try too hard and they want the easiest way, usually they can just sit back and I can just solo the whole thing, or if we're with three people. Because there's really no thing forcing you to be in the fray except for the totems encounter and the boss. Those are really only things. And of course, if you fall in the witches area, then that's still going to happen if you can't jump properly. But yeah, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. And then how did you find out about Guardian Hub, or people that you found through us. I want to say it was people like maybe Axe or Kitty. Does that seem right?
Nope, not at
all.
Okay,
my bad.
It was, it was, this is kind of to say, but Reddit, because I was a Redditor back in the day. I remember there was, I think it was on the Sharks, that guy. He posted the link in Reddit. That's where I came in and noticed. So it was like that was like when Shadowkeep launched, wasn't it? Like around that area?
I think so. And that, I do remember this story now that we did find some people that way. Yeah.
I was part of that group. The Redditors that all flooded one day, because I remember you guys were mentioning the fact that there were so many people joining all at once.
Gosh, maybe we should post on Reddit again.
Maybe.
I don't know. Hey, you're a cool Redditor.
Not anymore. I
sounds like Wicket's got a task ahead of him.
Oh, God.
Bring in a bunch of Redditors? Yeah, but then how are you going to know that if they're cool or not?
Yeah, because I can confirm that people on like DTG are not cool usually. That's why I stopped using Reddit.
Yeah. Was it that main one? I think we had also posted in Destiny Content Creator Reddit, so I wasn't sure which one it was.
I'm pretty sure back then I mostly frequented DTG, so it was most likely there, but it could have been somewhere else if I was just browsing another Destiny subreddit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you raid with us a lot. We definitely have had many raid experiences. Just since we're on that topic real quick, what are some of your favorite raids? You can even mention ones that are not around anymore.
Well, I have had the itch to do Crown of Sorrow again, because, you know, that was, and still, I think that still is my favorite raid in the game. Despite how horrible it was to do for the first time, and despite how much everyone else usually hates it, I really just like the flow of Crown of Sorrow. Not the first encounter, but more so like the third or the final encounter in the before that. Because with swapping buffs, making sure everyone's on time, it's like a little dance. And I really liked that rotation of like, especially when you got comfortable and you didn't really even need to call anything out, your partner just knew when your timer was about to end. So like Crown of Sorrow, I am loving Deepstone Crypt. It's getting up there into my favorites the more I do it. But at the same time, it's just kind of too easy for me to really, really enjoy it, because I don't really have too many memories in it. There's no struggle. There was a struggle in like Crown of Sorrow, Garden of Salvation, even Last Wish when I did it for the first time. Which those are the types of raids I like, because, you know, the raids in the game right now, well, of the raids of the game in the game right now, my favorite is Garden of Salvation, with Deepstone Crypt second and Last Wish third. Not that Last Wish is a bad raid, just a bit too long for my taste and boring.
Yeah. Except for Vault Encounter, right?
The Vault is the best. That honestly might be my favorite encounter in the entire game.
Breadsticks and salad.
Yeah, while we're here, we need to spread the good word of daddy issues.
Yes, daddy. Yes, the call out. The dragon pole dancing.
Do tell.
Yeah, it's what, the dragon facing to the right, I believe, with this holding the spear?
Yeah, holding the spear downward. It looks like a dragon pole dancing, so at first I started calling it like a pole dancing dragon, and then someone enlightened me and called it daddy issue, and I have called it that ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. Remember the other funny call out that I think you did also? I don't know if you know which one I'm going to be talking about.
On a branch looking left.
But facing right or something like
facing
that?
Facing right but looking left. I don't know what happened that night. I was just like, because in all fairness, in my defense, its body's facing right. Its head is facing left.
No, so I got you. And see, I always appreciate too when people give more details, because at least you won't be confused. So I totally appreciated that and kind of laughed at the same time. But like
everyone laughed. There's
like,
no
what the hell, facing right but looking left.
Oh God, that was like the funniest thing I've probably ever said. Because like we were laughing even after Vault in the next encounter, we were still laughing about it.
Yeah.
Hell, at the end of the raid, we made jokes about it.
Yeah, definitely good times there. Awesome. Well, yeah, we'll get to know more about your opinions on things as we go ahead. But yeah, just kind of wanted to get to know about you. And you think you might change your name to Lumina? You've had rumblings of that.
Yeah. Well, because a few people just started calling me the Lumina guy. So, and then it just got shortened to Lumina. So I'm figuring, and honestly, the name Wicked, I made it like when I was 12 years old on Agar.io. You guys remember that? Agar.io?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I was an edgy 12-year-old. And I decided that Wicked would be a good name. And I've had it ever since. Everyone knows me by it. But I'm kind of like, it's just not my style anymore, if that makes sense. Considering, like, if you look at my warlock in Destiny, it's like white and gold. It's very radiant and all that. So I feel like just Lumina fits me better. And also I just like the way Lumina rolls off the tongue. You know, that's the main reason.
Yeah, I guess you just got to decide, do you want a gamer tag name that makes sense in all your games, or just have one for Destiny, a different one for a different game, you know?
Yeah.
I like having the same one, but I don't know. Some people don't care.
Yeah, I like having the same one because right now the main thing that's stopping me from changing it is the fact that everyone here still knows me as Wicked. So even if I change it to Lumina and the new people come in, it's probably going to be the new people will call me Lumina, old people will call me Wicked. So there might be like a little name problem going on in raids.
Eh, it can happen. We'll get past it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, when I changed my name from MC Kingsley to Kingsley Mac, people were still calling me McKingsley for a little bit, but you know, it didn't take too long to switch.
Yeah. I'll probably change it soon, but just pulling the trigger on a name I've had for 5 years now is kind of rough. So.
Yeah. I mean, we have that guy, but it's Dez, and we have Sin trademark bracket TGH bracket.
Chiga.
Sin.
Chiga.
Yeah, and I guess in Discord I'm Kingsley McLemore right now, so whatever.
Yeah, not McKingsley.
McKingsley.
I do wonder a question for you: is that your actual name, like McLemore? Because I don't actually know what your actual name is.
That is a joke on McLemore, the rapper, who has the song "Thrift Shop," and he has a fur coat that looks very similar to the warlock robes that I'm wearing right now. So those in the know, that's why it's always a joke when I put this set on, you know, the Lux robes.
The Lux set, yeah.
Yep, and it looks like Mac. You got to watch this video, Wicked, when we're done. Look up Thrift Shop by Macklemore.
I'm pretty sure I've heard it. It's been years, though.
Oh, you probably have. You've probably seen a meme, too, somewhere, but just check out the video game. You'll get a laugh.
Yeah, okay. After this.
I was watching Lord of the Rings this weekend with the family, and I realized how many memes came out of there too, especially the one does not simply run into Mordor or whatever that one, you know.
Oh yeah.
But you know, one does not use that a lot. Or one is not simply that, you know, it's like that one meme. But...
mm-hmm.
All right. Well, before we talk about what we've been doing in Destiny and some of the news, I want to talk about other games we've been doing because I know you might have some interesting things to say about you still playing Genshin Impact.
Yeah, yes. Just the pronunciation of it, it's Genshin Impact.
I knew that. I said it wrong. Genshin.
Genshin. Yeah. Genshin. Yeah.
It's all right. They're not weeaboos.
I'm pleb. Sorry. Go forth and explain.
I thought you were going to say Gacha Impact.
Well, that wouldn't be too wrong either. Like, Anime Breath of the Wild is also the very accurate representation of the game.
Breath of the Waifu.
Breath of the Waifu.
Which I think was the that was the first name I heard come out of that game.
Yep.
And hilariously, on the day of its release.
Yeah, because it's like it didn't even try to hide it. Like the opening segment had the exact same thing as Breath of the Wild did, where you get on like the cliffside and you look over at the land that we're launched at. And so it didn't even try to. I feel like it was kind of ironic in a way because it was so similar. But yeah, Genshin, I've been a small explanation on the game for anyone who doesn't. Anime Breath of the Wild. That's it. It was, but with gacha as well. So gambling. Along with that, gambling for waifus and husbandos, if you swing that way, and
they got some pretty dudes too. I will say.
Honestly, Tartaglia, I kind of like him. Diluc is a bit too edgy, wine Batman.
Yeah, he kind of tries too hard. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe you'll have to post some links in the Discord. I don't know, just by the names.
Not that many people do. Well, obviously, pronounced wrong by most people. But yeah, I have been enjoying that game. I've only, even though it's a gacha game, which I have a reputation of spending over $100 on, I've only spent $20 on Genshin Impact so far. Which, honestly, I'd pay $60 for the game alone, and the game's free, so I'm fine with that. That's perfect. That's perfectly good. And like, go on.
I don't know, I was about to say, I usually also have for free gacha, as long as I'm still playing, or even play for a month, I usually have I'll give it 10 or 20, you know, if I have it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're enjoying it at any point in time, a developer definitely deserves some compensation for your enjoyment.
Yes.
So yeah. But then again, there's also gachas of, yeah. I've fallen for the trap.
My philosophy for spending money on games like that, or even spending money on Destiny, for example, it's the same as spending money on going to watch a movie or spending money on any source of entertainment, because that's really what you're doing. You're just paying for extra entertainment. So if you're playing the game actively and you're enjoying the game, you want something in the game, but it costs you a lot of money, or you want to, say in gachas, you want to roll and pull the slot machine, then sure, go for it. It's not, unless if you can afford it, then fine. But if it's hurting you financially, then it's not fine. Which most people are responsible enough, I assume, are responsible enough to not ruin their financial life on gacha games. So that's my philosophy behind it, and why I do spend, say, $100 throughout my lifespan in a gacha game, because I enjoy it, it's entertaining, and I can afford it, especially. So, yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
In Genshin, though, really, nothing interesting that I could explain. I got a few 5-stars. I got really lucky on my first 5-star, because 5-star is the highest rarity you can get. I got really lucky, and I got one of the 5-star characters, because there was 6 5-star characters you can get, and one of them had a 50% to get, since it was that character's banner, as it's called. And I only wanted one 5-star off of it, and it was not the 5-star that had the rate up on the banner, and I just happened to roll it randomly. I don't know the proper chance for that, but the chance of rolling a 5-star in general is 0.5, was it 0.9%?
5.
Yeah, it's 0.5%, and then there's 6 different 5-stars you could roll, and I got the one I wanted. So that boosted my playtime a lot, getting that, since I wanted to play with that character a bunch now. But yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it so far.
And I see that there's supposedly a pretty cool update coming out, 1.3.
Yep.
Going to be doing a bunch of things. I'm reading this Forbes article right now, and I don't understand all this, but it looks like it'll be a good update.
Tower defense, nice. I can't... The one thing that bothers me about it slightly is because they have all these interesting things coming, for example, the tower defense mode. But that stuff isn't going to be permanent, most likely, because they're just events. They're not actual, in-game activities to do. That's my only thing, because you have such these amazing, fun events, but then they leave afterwards and don't come back ever. But, yeah, I can't wait for it. Honestly, especially since there is going to be a Kaching ban, which I never expected, and the entire community is mad about it, except for me. because that is the character that I want to level up more. And getting duplicates of characters, since I already have one of them, getting duplicates does give you benefit, like powers them up a little bit more.
I do need to jump back into that game. I played it for maybe an hour or two, and I enjoyed it.
Fun.
A little bit of time that I played it. But I'm probably super far behind from where you all are at.
Oh, drastically. But then again, that's also kind of like... I mean, the 101 of gotchas is because, you know, for one reason, you know, usually gotchas are mobile. So they're not trying to wow you with graphics. They're just trying to be interesting in character design and interesting enough gameplay. So it's drastically easier for them to kind of pump out content, especially when half of their quote-unquote content are special banners. But every once in a while you get like a gem, like this tower defense mode that's coming up and stuff like that. So they can be very interesting to like keep track with, but also at the same time, unless you're just on them daily, there's definitely stuff you're going to miss. Like, you cannot have a fear of missing out with a gacha, or else you're dedicating like all of your time to it.
Because, like, even with this, like, the event right now, or, like, the Marvelous Merchandise event, that's, like, if you miss a single day, then you're not going to get the final package, right? So, you really can't have FOMO in it at all. But, speaking of, like, events and stuff, I have been enjoying the current one, I can't even remember what it's called, the one with the...
Treasure Hunts?
No. The... Symphony, what was it?
Oh no, yeah, the freaking cubes.
I can't remember. The cubes.
it's the element cubes.
Hypostasis. Yeah, the hypostasis.
There you go. Yeah.
I have been enjoying that actually, because that's like a legitimately like fun. I kind of call it a boss rush. Yeah, and it is incredibly challenging since you modify your own difficulty to get a higher score.
Yeah.
Like, with giving yourself debuffs and lessening the time you have.
I mean,
making...
Yeah, that... Because I believe I like get my characters up and get, like, a solid feeling team.
Yep.
I did get Benny recently, though, so...
Oh, you got the best character in the game, even though he's a 4-star?
I don't
understand why he's so powerful of all characters. Like, one of the easier ones to get as well, because, of course, he's a 4-star.
Yeah. I looked at his kit, and I'm like... Hey, he's actually seems decent. So I'm gonna start leveling
one thing
him
to
up.
Note: if you do get 7 copies of him, don't activate your sixth constellation unless you know what you're doing, because your sixth constellation infuses your weapon with pyro, and in like my case, for example, using Ka-Ching, doing electro damage, if it gets infused with pyro, that's going to be a massive DPS loss.
Yeah.
So depending on who you're using, you don't want to activate that.
Yeah.
So quick question for you. Kingsley said there's a big update coming. Does that include, are they allowing PS4 players to now cross save to other platforms?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it doesn't show that in the notes.
That's not a developer thing. That's a Sony thing.
Yes. So I doubt it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. Because even to allow... Like, whenever back in the day for Paladins, they had separate, before they allowed you to cross-save their account, like, PlayStation was like the straggling one out of that group. So it's going to take like a large enough fan base on PlayStation to get together and say, hey, enough of this crap. We want to be able to carry our progress over before anything's going to happen, which they even did the same thing with Fortnite. Back with when they first enabled cross-save too, so it's a Sony thing right now.
I get that, but I don't get why several games are able to do it now, so they just have to, please daddy, every game has to request it before Sony will just allow all games to do it?
It seems like it. People in charge of Sony definitely don't seem to be as intuitive as before. Something has happened in recent years that I don't know what, like, it seems like something in the higher command structure has changed.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll come.
Because this is coming from, like, just, what, less than 10 years ago. Like, the people that allowed Final Fantasy 14 to port to PlayStation and Xbox wouldn't because Xbox wanted their own private server, but Square Enix is like, no, you're using our servers, so everyone will play together. And Xbox said no, so he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So yeah, it's very weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I want to. We have a live update from Sin, and then I want to talk some about some raids and title things we've done recently. But I do appreciate hearing about the Genshin Impact. I may actually check it out.
And I do have one more question. If I were to jump in right now, what is one thing I should go for, knowing that I'm not very far in the game?
Level up your characters first. Yeah, story. And make sure, don't try and like farm out your AR or your adventure. Don't, because you'll have what happened to Death happen to you, where things overlevel you drastically, and now you are locked out of a lot of things. And it's harder for you to grind materials, because you can't efficiently grind the materials you need to level up your characters, because the bosses, because of your world level being so high, it assumes your characters are already like high enough level to deal with these bosses.
Yeah, so definitely keep a range of characters leveled. Let them like get a group of like four characters you like and that work well together. Like if you're going free to play, anyone that you get from the story can work well together. But like I said, once you find a character team that clicks with you, make sure you level them all basically to the cap that you're currently at before you even really try and go for adventure rank, is my advice.
Yeah.
Mm. Like definitely keep up with them.
I'm currently leveling like Ganyu and Xing Qiu, because Xing Qiu is like the best Ka-Ching pair ever. And because Electro Charge is easily the best scaling reaction that Electro has. And Overload sucks because Ka-Ching already throws enemies miles away. You already chased them down so far. You don't want to blow them away even further. And Superconduct is also okay. It's not useful, but Electro Charge is where it's at. So Xing Qiu and Ka-Ching pair very well together, and then Ganyu in there as well, and I'm leveling all of them at the same time. But luckily I have my other characters I already have leveled at max, so I can just use them while leveling my underleveled characters. That's my thing.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Sin is now in the know. And me too.
Yep.
Sin, live update. Do you have something exciting to tell us?
Yeah, I'm playing Genshin Impact currently. No, but seriously, before that, I was doing the solo Lost Sector, and everybody was talking about the necrotic grips and whatnot, so I decided to do it on my Warlock. Oh, and I did it on my Warlock. I got necrotic grips.
Nice.
They dropped my first run. Jeez. Well, it took me a couple tries to get it done, but my first try at trying on a Warlock, yes.
Yeah. Nice. It took me 9.
Probably, yes, 5 to 7s for me, something like that. I don't remember exactly how many.
Yeah. I still don't have the helmet for Warlock. I still just haven't gotten it, even though I'm high enough level to get it now, easily.
That's my only new exotic, though, so don't let it fool you.
They're fun. I mean, there's always often something that you'd want to use instead, but when there's just some stupid fun encounter or strikes or something, I love, you know, you've probably noticed Wicked does send third encounter of the raid. I'll often pop that on in security room so that, not the security room, but the Tanix room, you know, so that, see all the green.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like running around trying to find something to kill, and then I'll look over to where you're at, and I'll just see green flashing over in the distance and everything falling over. Like, it just looks like everything trips. They don't even die. Just chip on a rock.
I mean, I got it. I might as well use it for fun every once in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't have the Warlock helmet also. I forgot about that. Don Chorus. What does that do? It improves burn effects and daybreak projectiles.
It's useless.
Yeah,
I mean, you say that, but 6 Dawn courses have been able to one phase Tanix, apparently.
That's true, I guess. It's just the fact that when are you usually running Dawnblade, especially bottom tree Dawnblade?
Yeah.
we figured that was going to be the best chance of doing it, is five Rat Kings and a Divinity. Makes sense. We had like crap to do, but yeah, damage was just not there, like at all.
What was the primary ammo situation like, though? I feel like it was the opposite of what it normally is. Like, everyone was looking for special in that encounter. I feel like then everyone's like looking for primary, because Rat King ammo goes quickly.
Yeah, and legitimately, we actually didn't. We went through one damage cycle, and we saw the damage. We're like, nah, this is good. We'll do it normally. So we all wiped and went about it a normal way. So as far as like ammo economy or anything, no, I got no clue, because we saw what little we were doing. It's just like, nah, this ain't gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I know we've obviously all been raiding a lot still, and I know that we all kind of got some more titles recently. Sin, which titles have you gotten? I think you got this last, since we last spoke, right? Two.
Two today,
just
the
skin of your teeth. Right before the podcast, we jumped in. Wicked was there also to help out. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Man, I see a lot of people now got some stuff in the
Des, you also got your Descendant within the last week too, right? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah.
I believe it was sometime last week.
So okay. All three of us got Warden today, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You got it today too?
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
And then Wiki got it also. Yep. Awesome. So four of us, four of us got that today. I also got Descendant. I was able to run thanks to everybody's help. We had Kato, Wicket, you two, and Yoda. Did I get everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Helped with the challenge, the rotating challenge for the Atrax challenge. And we got it.
That's all you had left, right?
Yeah, there was only one that I had left. And wiped once, just getting everybody set up. But that first run right after, bam, done.
Yeah.
And we got it. Pumped.
It almost seems it's blessed, because I've done that three times now, and every single time it's been... Well, the first two times it was first try, and that time was technically second try, but it could still be considered first try considering how quick the first wipe went.
Yeah,
it went so quick. We're like, now what? We're like, well, we have to podcast, so why don't you join us, Wicked?
Yep, and since I was doing like a little bit of testing as well, you knew I was up and awake and doing stuff.
Yes, and that is something I wanted to talk about too. I know this is stuff that we've talked about in the past about it's hard, you know, as players. Bungie tells us things, you know, we generally know how, like, you can't stack two buffs together, but you don't always know all the rules, because it's not like they post a table somewhere and then people figure out things, and then we start hearing stuff about, well, if you're running Lucent Blade, you know, we know that Lucent Blade does the most DPS in there with Lament. We're talking about Atrax, of course, in the Deepstone Crypt. Not everyone may have Lucent Blade, but most people probably do that we run with. But then the thought is, okay, a well or a bubble, because especially if someone didn't have Lucent Blade or Lament at all, well, you know, it's just a buff that can help, right? It's just kind of like, put your well down, right? I mean, you know that, Wicked, right? It's like, you're the well guy. I even switched to well. But then I started hearing some things, combination of some things you said in the past, and I read something, it was like, that running Lucent Blade with well could actually be a detriment.
Yep.
And you ran some numbers, right?
Yes, I ran a very minimal numbers. It was like, I just went into like Cali and Last Wish, because that was the easiest place I could think of to get like orbs of power easily. It's a proc.
So you're saying we shouldn't stamp this as 100% correct? No. But
yes,
no.
I'm saying the specifics I'm in. Because you know how the game works. It can be in like, things work differently in different areas. But... yeah, because the first thing is, like what you heard me saying all the time, was that for some reason in the game, Lucent Blade is... because the buffs you can stack two buffs. Universal buffs, and then like the weapon-specific buffs. Say like Kill Clip, but it's so like Well of Valiant's Kill Clip, those would stack. But, and you'd think Lucent Blade and Well of Valiant's would stack, but they don't, because for some reason Lucent Blade in the game is a universal buff, even though it only affects swords. So that's out of the question. It doesn't stack. But then what came up was that even, because normally what happens is when buffs like that clash, the higher buff overrides the other one. You'll always get the highest buff, and in terms of debuffs, you'd always get the best debuff as well. But it was said that Well of Radiance actually takes priority over Lucent Blade, even though Lucent Blade does significantly more damage than Well. And the numbers I did, the situation I was in, that I put myself in, was I got on Lament, I could put on Lucent Blade, Well, and I went into the Last Wish, Kali. And I would just... the numbers that I got were, I got 8,300 damage as just a normal light attack on Lament, on Kali. And then I got 11,204 for Lucent Blade light attack. And then I got 10,374 for Well of Radiance. And then with Lucent Blade and Well of Radiance, I got, again, 10,374 on a light attack. So it does seem that the Well of Radiance does proc over it and will give you less damage if you have Lucent Blade in a Well. So, and another thing to note is that if anyone tests this themselves, the first swipe that activates Lucent Blade, or the first light attack that activates Lucent Blade, doesn't get the damage buff. It's every attack after you activate it that gets the buff.
And that's probably related to the weird how this sword works anyways. Like, we had also found out that, sure enough, Lament does do better in Last Wish versus Falling Guillotine, but you have to do a very specific attack with it, right? It's like not as easy to deal with as just the, you know, three lights and a heavy in Aatrox. I don't know. That's just what I was guessing, but yeah. All right. But yeah, anything else we find interesting about this? I mean, I guess, does this seem like hold on one second. Are you with us, Wicked? Maybe Wicked went AFK for a second.
He's got the green circle of death around his
the green circle of death.
Yeah.
He might need to leave and
try leaving
pop back in real fast. I know that normally helps me when that happens. Clickety clack, keyboard attack.
The good thing about Craig.
Testing.
You're back.
There you go.
I was wondering what happened when everything got quiet. So when did I get cut off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You had just finished the Fair Kingsley was talking about something or another.
Yeah, I think you'd said something. I was saying, like, I wonder if this relates to how, like, Lament has an interesting sword attack anyways that you have to learn, especially if you're going to do it in Last Wish.
Yeah, but everything I said about the damage numbers got in, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I remember. Yeah, because I remember Kingsley started talking, and then it cut off immediately.
Yeah. So, yeah, just skimped out on what Kingsley was saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I apologize because I didn't pay full attention because I'm trying the solo Lost Sector real fast. I'm sorry.
The legend one, the really hard one.
No. I'm just going for I'm trying for the warlock arms.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So you want that? You want them to the necrotic grips?
Yeah. I mean, they're fun. Kingsley has fun using them, so I figured. That can't.
Now that Sin's got them, we could be a tripod of necrotic grips.
It gives you a reason to run Thorn more. I mean, not that Thorn was horrible, but. It's really fun.
I still need the lore books. I have yet to get the lore books. Actually, no, I don't, right? Because they gave you every lore book now. technically.
Yeah.
Technically.
All right. I'll just say again, you were mentioning about how it procs only on the second swipe, right?
Yes, that was where I left off.
Okay. And I'm not sure if this is similar, but I wonder if that has to do with how Lament, you have to use it a certain way anyways, kind of like how we've heard in Last Wish, it actually does do more damage, but you have to do a very specific attack and it gets kind of complicated.
Yeah. Because if I remember correctly, in Last Wish, for consistent damage in general, I think it's 4 light attacks in a heavy, and then 5 light attacks after, so your hand will end on the right side, so you can quickly guard. Your animation will end with your hand on the right side, so you can quickly guard, start it up again. And you just repeat that over and over again, I believe. Don't quote me on it, but there is a very nice video to that.
There was, and I got a little confused. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't super complicated, but I was like, I don't know if I got time for this. I'll just stick with Falling Guillotine for now.
Falling Guillotine still works.
Yeah. But yeah, more of the story. This is certainly interesting. It makes me wonder if... I mean, I hate for things to be all complicated, and we ask everyone ahead of time, okay, is everyone running Lucent? You know, undoubtedly, there will be some groups where not many people have it, and maybe it's still better running a well or something. I don't know. You know, it'll certainly be an interesting thing to keep in mind, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, because if you don't have Lucent, it's definitely going to be better to run well. Or maybe if one or two people only have Lucent, it'll probably still be better.
One or two, probably.
Overall, yeah.
Also, a good thing you do is put them on the same floor, so you're not making the people who have Lucent Blade lose their damage. Because by the looks of it, looking at the numbers, if two people don't have Lucent Blade and one person does, it still looks like it'd be beneficial to run a well and drop on it. You can even probably just drop it on one side of him to where two people are standing in the well hitting and the other one's on the other side that has Lucent Blade, so he's not standing in the well. But that's still when you're rushing to hit him, and Scanner could be late sometimes, and I know on the bottom floor or in base, you have a very tight schedule. Positioning a well is not something that's going to be on the top of your priority like that. So, but looking at it, it does, because the jump between 8,300 damage to 10,374, and then 11,204 for Lucent Blade, the jump between no buffs to Well of Radiance is significantly bigger than the jump from Well of Radiance to Lucent Blade. Still.
True.
So.
Yeah. And just because I'm a pleb and I don't know any better, but Bubble, would that assume to be similar damage?
I assume.
As well.
I assume so, but I haven't tested because Titan.
The only thing that could be different is maybe Bubble doesn't override and make it worse in case it was, smaller.
That's,
who knows?
That's the main thing, because this seems like a bug, honestly, because it's supposed to take the higher damage number is supposed to be what's taken from it, right? So this seems like a bug, and on one hand, so I don't know if that is with all damage buffs and that include Lucent Blade or only Well of Radiant. So that's something else interesting as well, testing what other universal buffs would clash with it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fallout, run the numbers for us and let us know every little intricacy in the game of how things interact together.
Honestly, that man's dedication is amazing. His Thresh video on the perk, him waiting in the EDZ for so long for his super to recharge was I couldn't imagine. I'd get bored.
Yeah.
I guess
well, I'm sure they have some people, YouTubers will have people, little minions helping them with things too, but you're right. They still have to do a lot of work on their own.
Yeah. And from the little bit of editing I've done on YouTube back a while ago, actually recording the video is one third of the process. Editing is the rest of it. Editing is a nightmare sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Right, Sin, editing the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know how it goes.
He's like, screw that. We're just doing it live.
Doing it live. No cuts.
Yep.
Everything stays in.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, I will say single medium editing is way better. It's adding two and attempting, because I had an issue with my Elgato back when I was doing videos. Like the video and audio, for whatever reason, for longer recording periods would desync. Don't know why.
Mm.
It just would happen. So I would have to chop the audio and try to sync it mid-roll, and whew. Used to love it, man.
Mm.
Not really. It was awful.
Well, we do have to talk briefly about, you know, since the last time we had a podcast, also the newest ending, quote, Hawkmoon mission Harbinger came out. And this is a pretty cool experience. I think I saw someone say it's kind of like a, you know, not exactly like a 0 hour Whisper mission, but pretty darn close.
It was way closer than I anticipated it would be.
Yeah, basically just honest. With no timer, which is kind of nice to have one of these again with no timer.
And it kind of almost feels more like a mini dungeon to me. I don't know if anybody else gets that. Does that feel?
Granted, you and me are, like what you said this earlier, you and me are saying, me saying it doesn't really account for much.
But I was just thinking that when we were running it earlier, it's like, this kind of feels more like a dungeon encounter, because, I mean, Whisper and Zero Hour didn't have as many, I don't know, it just felt like the encounters between the platforming felt drastically more simpler and, like, easier to get through, because, of course, you had the countdown timer on the background. It's like the biggest encounter was definitely the end, but this one definitely has some more substance in the middle than these normal secret missions do.
Yeah, go ahead, Wicked. Yeah,
I was gonna say the way I look at it is it's a jumping puzzle with like, or it's a dungeon that's more focused on jumping puzzles rather than like combat encounters. That's the way I see it, because majority of it is a jumping puzzle, and then you have like this opening combat encounter with the three envoys. Is that what they're called? Yeah, envoy. With the three envoys
of Savathun or something like that.
Whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Then you do jumping, and then you get to the Lake of is the Lake of Shadows boss room, and then after that you do more jumping, and then you get to the final boss. So it really seems like a dungeon that has a very 50-50 balance on jumping puzzles and combat encounters, which I like, because in the game right now we are incredibly powerful at killing things, especially like in the new raid the Gambit enemies are more tanky than this, like. So I definitely like the more puzzle side of the game now that combat has gotten so simple and easy.
I agree. I like what you said about the jumping puzzle part. I almost forget how this mission's almost kind of like split into two, right? You have like a mini kind of boss encounter, and then you have a second part to it with another jumping puzzle in between. And the thing I was going to mention too is that they've done an excellent job of building upon something. Like, obviously, we've been in many of these areas, not 100% of them before, but many of these areas before throughout this season, and all of a sudden they combine it all together to make some big strike mini dungeon, you know, whatever thing you want to call it, and add a little bit new extra, some new bosses, and just kind of like orchestrate it all together at the end, and kind of brilliant in a way, because you can see it's like less resources by having this, you know, spread out throughout the season, and yet it's still a fun mission to kind of culminate at the end. I love just even the outside, it's not even that big of a jumping puzzle in the first half, but just jumping on the outside of the, you know, the dam, that's just fun. I mean, it's like, I would have never thought we would be in that area. Everyone was trying to figure out that first day, like, how do we get over there? Like, people were dawnblading way over to the boss room. You know, I guess that was a way you could get in or something. But then they're like, hey, guys, you got to actually find this weird tree branch and then climb up the side of the dam. I'm like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that boggled my mind the first time I saw it, because I spent so long like, where do I go? And then I saw that down there. I was, oh, there's no kill zone down here.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And then, of course, bringing us through the other part, those caves that we'd been in before, but it's part of the mission, you know, having to jump through all there again. And of course, some annoying sniper ads here and there and all the normal pushy, you know, things, but
Taken.
Yeah.
The Taken, the worst enemy.
And the fight encounters pretty good, good enough. It's, you know, it's not too easy, not too hard. It's one of these things that, you know, it makes sense to have a couple immunity phases so we don't just melt them with 3 Nova bombs, a couple swords or something. But, you know, a whole orchestration where you have to get the knights and kill the other adds, and then you can take them down a third, you know, each time. So.
Mm-hmm. And the I thought it was cool.
Oh my
gosh. The main thing that I took away from it was like, it felt like Day One Prophecy all over again. Because I tried Day One Prophecy. Failed miserably because of the fire. It reminds me so much of that because it deals pretty much the exact same amount of damage. If you get revived in fire, you're going to die again.
And so that fire spreads everywhere.
Yep. Especially like, since the knights are what you need to kill as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really interesting how this season has ended up. There's been a lot of talk of, and it makes sense that often the season that's paired with the DLC is a lighter one. I guess you can say we didn't have some match made or huge seasonal activity. It was just the Wrathborn hunts, which are better suited solo, you know. But if you look at the whole season as a whole now that we're at the end of it, especially with this mission added in, I think it was a pretty darn good season, especially for being one with the DLC.
Yeah.
And things are sticking around too, right? Because we've heard that from them now that it's...
Yeah, we got a confirmed list of things sticking around to the end of the year, quote-unquote year.
Speaking of, might as well bring that up.
I forgot the list myself.
That's what we call a segue.
That is What is sticking around, Des? Do you have it pulled up? Okay,
I have it pulled up even. I am prepared today, man. Just don't expect this next week.
Intentional.
Somewhat, yeah, actually. Like, you know, hopeful. But no, so sticking around until the end of year 4. Story missions will be able to be launched from a node in the director. Yay. The Wrathborn hunts shall be sticking around. The Adored quest, sticking around. I love the way how they word this, because they say Crow's vendor screen on the Tangled Shore will be there. The Hawkmoon exotic quest and master activity, sealed seasonal or seasonal seal and warden title.
We'll
be sticking around.
His vendor screen?
Yes, his vendor screen.
Two crows, right? They said?
Yes. Yes, there's there's essentially... Because they... Yeah, because I remember them saying this. Because they came up with this plan of seasonal activity sticking around for longer after they developed, basically, or had an eye... They were at the point of no return for this season when that plan came about. So there's going to be some funkiness. We're going to have a couple of crows hanging around. But yeah, things definitely not sticking around, though, are crows' bounties, messages from the field, the seasonal artifact, and the seasonal pass are not sticking around.
Gotcha.
That's good. That would make sense.
Crows' bounties. Did anybody else find those bounties pointless?
His and barracks. I mean, they're a good source of like extra XP.
When I was doing this 100 pass, but quickly it became pointless.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I could have picked them up, but I didn't see really any reason. There was nothing specific for the season for them, so I opted out.
I liked the color. I liked that they were red and they were new, so I would pick them up.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they could have like... let me double check this real fast.
They're the color of sin.
Yes.
Oh wow. They don't like... I feel if they could have given extra reputation drops with them, they would have been better. But I mean, that's just, you know. I feel like
I found myself picking them up every so often, but like I never felt the need to pick them up like I do, say, Hawthorne's bounties.
Exactly.
Because Hawthorne's bounties give like a very substantial reward that you can like see happening with the XP and all that. But on top of the XP you get for doing the action. But Crow's and Varric's bounties, I mainly did them at the start of the season because I was lacking XP and there were extra bounties. And it's not like I'm running out of glimmer.
But yeah, there's just something to do early and afterwards there's kind of
Yeah.
They
exist. Most bounties, though.
Not if you ask Gator.
I guess we could ask all the... We have a bunch of bounty goblins in the Discord, so we can go talk to them. Helios.
Mo, Gator.
Yep.
They're multiplying. Who fed them after midnight?
Well, I want to ask all your opinions on the seasonal number above all the Guardians' heads now. I like the idea when it's someone new, because then, at the beginning, it doesn't really make sense because we're all zero. But, like, you know, this part in, you see someone at zero now, you're like, oh, they might be a new player. I guess you don't know for sure. But I don't know. I don't really love the idea. I don't know what would be better, but I don't care that someone's seasonal level 400. I guess you're showing off, but it's not, to me, important.
I mean, yeah, it gives those that like to show off and those that wanted stuff beyond the season. But like, it's kind of like, I guess, the stopgap. It lets people show off. Because a lot of people that want things to drop from the seasonal thing beyond 100 are those that basically want something to show off. It's like, look at my work. Look at what I can do. And this is kind of like, I feel like that's kind of like a stopgap. It's like an initial thing that they could do to help people do that.
But with power level not mattering to a lot of us as much these days, if they put that above, and I understand it's an uglier, longer number, but if they put that above, then that might actually get people interested in power level again, just to show off that way.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I usually never pay attention to that number anyway.
Yeah.
Whether it's your level, your power level, your seasonal rank, whatever, I normally just don't really pay attention. Like, it'll catch my eye occasionally, and like you said, you see someone at like rank 1, and like, oh, hey, they're new or freshly coming back. Nice. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
I think my thing is, usually I don't care about any of those numbers either. If I'm not 20 power level below what I'm doing, then I'm fine. And even if I am, exactly. I've done a Master Nightfall, like, 40 power below, with all of us being like 40 power below, and we did it. Granted, I was with a Conqueror at the time, so but still, it was still like, I don't really care about that number too much anymore after I've seen like how little it matters in actual endgame content.
Yeah. Well, we have to also talk about exciting news. Umbral Engrams are coming back.
Woo woo.
And it says in parentheses, they're pretty insane. How do you feel about it, Wicked?
No, I'm just thinking about the old days of my stack of enhancement prisms being shoved out of my postmaster because I didn't keep up with it. Those were 50 good news. Enhancement prisms.
Yeah, good news, though. Bungie has stated that we're not going to see them drop that abundantly anymore. Apparently, during Season of the Rivals, they were bugged and actually dropping more than intended.
I didn't know that part.
Well, Bungie never said anything.
Until now.
Yeah, until right now, Bungie never said anything about it, and they let it go the entire season. So take that, people, to say Bungie takes away everything that benefits us.
So good news, we're getting them less often.
Yeah, that's true too. To be honest, especially close to the end of the season, it actually did get annoying that they could fill up so quickly.
I would still like them to stack an inventory if they could somehow.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, that would be much nicer.
But yeah, if they're coming back.
Not this again. Instead of making it Umbral Engrams, I feel like they really could just ditch the Umbral Engram brand, just make it like a thing in your inventory that drops that can stack to up say up to 100, and then you give that to the Dakota, because I guess it's engrams and they I assume they probably want to make engrams like relevant for a long time, but since they're basically a loot box of this game, but
yeah.
I still just it gets annoying making them with them being umbral engrams when they could just be something in your inventory. Is my thing.
We'll see how it turns out, but Des, yeah. Tell us the good news of what's how we get them and what's going to be different about them this time.
Well, they're going to be a little different. They tell us exactly what areas we are going to be getting them. Deep breath here. They will be coming from Patrol Strikes, Crucible, Gambit, The Ordeal, which is aka the Nightfall, Public Events, Blind Well, Nightmare Hunts, Exo Challenges, Empire Hunts, and New Seasonal Activity. But they do go on to say that they can drop randomly whenever, wherever as well. But if you're really looking to farm them, those are the activities to really focus on. And of course, the recaster is coming back. And good news, we finally know what the prismatic lens is for. But no, wait, that's prismatic lens. That's not even the ascendant lens. What the crap is the ascendant lens for? See, I got all excited.
No, it's...
But I just now realized it's different.
I thought that was
too. Dang it, man.
It's still good news about the prismatic lens.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, the prismatic lens is super, super cool because where they had focused umbral engrams before, prismatic lenses will now let us super focus umbral engrams. Not kidding. That's basically what they're going to do.
Super focus.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. They will allow us to target a narrower collection of gear and be able to target specific armor stats, which definitely seems to be what the focused umbral engrams were before anyway.
Well, maybe there will be less in...
Yeah.
You know, before it was like, a 4 or 5 you could get from. Now it'll be less. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely see like when it comes out. But yeah, it seems like, I guess, the focused umbral engrams would be kind of like the initial focused umbral engrams from Arrivals, where, yeah, it could be like a couple seasons bundled together, so a few weapons there. But it seems like the prismatic lens is going to be like that other tier of focused to really, because if you remember, that's when you could get the like high stat armor focused umbral engrams, or like that bottom row, which I feel that's definitely more in line with the prismatic. So they're basically giving us a way to earn a thing to be able to, since it's not going to be part of a season, I guess.
Yeah.
Because this definitely sounds like something that they're just going to be keeping in. Yeah, so that's going to be nice. Because I did like umbrals. I guess I'm kind of like on a different side of the fence that I kind of wish the umbrals and how the umbrals work would just apply to regular engrams. But, you know, whatever. Like I said, let us earn like a thing that can stack, and we can like transform an engram into an umbral engram, where we can then maybe focus it if we want to or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. I mean,
well, but it is a plus either way.
Yeah, and focused gear is always
lens will be interesting too.
Still no word on this ascendant lens. Oh God.
I think you need to just give up on that idea. I did.
I know, right? Like, at this rate, we're not going to do anything with this ascendant lens till next Festival of the Lost.
If anything at all.
Right? Oh, it's like playing freaking Brave Exvius all over again.
Yeah, well. All right, does anyone want to go... Do you want to go through the title section where they... talk about titles a little bit differently. I didn't myself.
TLDR, we're going to be able to do extra triumphs to make our titles look different and shinier. So we can
it's
show
for
off.
Those ones that stick around, right? Like the Flawless, Copper,
yes.
Unbroken, and
yes.
Virgin.
Yeah. Non-seasonal titles. We will be able to, as they say, gild. And all gilding does is give you like fancy borders around the title, essentially.
Yeah. Plus their titles I don't really care about as much. So sorry. I know a lot of people might, but well, Dredgen.
I'll probably end up gilding that just because I do occasionally play Gambit, but other than that, I'm really not worried.
Stan, are you going to gild your flawless title?
I don't even have a flawless title.
What flawless title are we talking about here?
All right.
God, screw that. I feel like I'm going. If I don't gild the judge and title, I feel like it's kind of against my whole thing brand with Axe. I got Rekkona with Axe and Fire, and people kind of know us for that since we always were a group of three who played Gambit all the time. We always had room for one more, so people knew of us as like the Gambit team to be with, or the Reckoning team to be with. So it would be—I feel like it would be against my brand if I don't gild the Judge and Tile.
Yeah. All right. Looking through known issues, nothing super interesting. I mean, we had the issue where the last Triumph that we needed to get the title was bugged for a few days where, you know, you had to run 3 Hawk Moons in that mission, yeah. But Bungie already fixed it.
Yeah. They did mention that they're delaying. They will be pushing back the deadline for the Bungie reward attached to that title, though. So still nice, but they ended up fixing it quite quickly.
Here's an interesting one. Did anyone run into this? The augment lockout timer occasionally resets during the final encounter against Tanix.
Not that I've noticed.
Yeah, I feel like we would have mentioned that more by now if it was a common thing.
I did run into a new glitch doing the Celebrant, though.
Another one?
new one. Apparently, I guess what happened before, because I ran south, that was like the first thing I did, because, you know, they're fixing some issues in Celebrant. I decided to see, test it out, see what was going on. Which apparently what wasn't happening before is now the Celebrant between phases will have an invulnerability shield that pops up now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing it before, so damaging him too fast doesn't seem to be an issue right now.
Well, you can still shoot through this shield if I remember correctly. It comes up as immune, but you actually are still doing damage to him.
Exactly. Yeah. See, that's the issue that I ran into.
Because, I did too, yeah.
Because once that immunity shield came down, all of a sudden that was in like the second phase, like in the Ascendant Realm during like the final encounter, and I noticed, wait, I don't have damage numbers popping up. It's saying immune, but he has no shield. And but his health bar. No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't. I felt like mine was, but maybe not.
But I actually just, for the sake of science, decided to keep hitting him with my sword. But sure enough, he was taking damage. It just wasn't showing it until like damage gates. Okay. So it's super weird. But yeah, if you get immune and he doesn't have a shield on him, just keep going. He is taking damage, probably.
I mean, I had that same problem in like Deepstone Crypt a little bit, not with the healing on Aatrox, but I remember at one point it was whenever the final stand happened and all the clones would come upstairs, the HP bar would reset for me occasionally, giving me a mini heart attack. But then when we go in. I didn't mention anything about it because I figured honestly that it was a thing because his HP bar goes all over the place and is usually not accurate anyway, so I've gotten used to it. And then sure enough, we hit the correct clone and he died. So the HP bar is like incredibly inconsistent in the game now. I feel like it's like more inconsistent than it used to be because I know this was a problem before, but I didn't notice it as much as I do now. Like with normal enemies and stuff throughout the world.
I definitely super notice it on Aatrox. Yeah. Like as far as like the boss bars go, Aatrox can be super wonky. So I look down, we'll see the damage, like, oh hey, we did jumps back up like an eighth or whatever, or maybe a fifth, and it's just like, it's still pretty good. And of course, normal enemies, Tanix phase 2. Those drakes pop everywhere anyway, so I'm not really surprised their health bars go all over the place.
Yeah. Leviathan all over again. Gauntlet.
Right.
Here's two other bugs that are very interesting for the other raids. Now, here's one that people would always complain about, but I didn't really believe them, but maybe it's a thing now. In Garden of Salvation, sometimes the wrong tether box gets tethered during the final encounter. Okay, I don't know if that's new or not, and exactly what that means, but...
I never encountered it myself in all my runs.
And, I don't run it that much, so... No.
Yeah. And here's a really interesting one. Shiro-Chi in Last Wish. Do not do a Titan Word of Dawn or Warlock Will of Radiance. If they touch them even a little bit, the plate will not work.
Oh.
Well, sometimes will not work. I don't know if it's an always will not work. They use the word sometimes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because I remember like welling in the middle all the time just so people had a place to jump off and like heal with it and get to take a breather. But okay. I wonder.
I have to assume it's a new issue then. Yeah, because we did do that in the past. Sin would drop bubbles often too, and I never noticed any issues.
I hope healing grenades don't do the same thing. It's just like the well in the ward. Because I often throw healing grenades at other people on their plates when I see their character like flashes saying they're taking critical damage now. Because sometimes I can get it quick enough and end up saving them. But so yeah, hope I'll remember that next time. Although now that I have my 1K, there's no reason for me to go back in there anymore. Ha ha.
Yes, you got that too within the last. Congrats on that also.
Yep.
Because you were crying a lot about that one not having it yet.
Yeah, definitely. Because it was like, hey, main warlock all the time. Here's one of like the best warlock specific DPS options. You're not going to get it though. You're going to get Anarchy and Turaba and the Scourge Sparrow on like your third attempt. So, yeah, it felt really good. Now, though, my collection is still on complete because Eyes of Tomorrow are in the game. And I haven't gotten that yet. And I've already done more runs of Deepstone Crypt than I've done of The Last Wish. So.
The game does not like you.
This is what I'm going to get for gloating to Helios for getting it on my third run. Because I'm pretty sure my run where I got Anarchy was with him. And, you know, he took, like... 50, 60 runs. And I gloated to him. This is the karma I'm going to get because they said this karma was going to come for me one day. This is going to be it. I don't expect to get it to like 50 or 60.
You just never know. Just run it a few more times and you'll see.
Yes, we will see. Well, any other things you wanted to talk about, Wicked, Des, Sin, before we start closing up shop here this evening? Just always want to give, you know, definitely our guest to anything else in your mind about Destiny these days.
I mean, it is surprising just how easy the raid title is, although that's probably just because of the raid in general, because I've like we've been doing all triumphs. There's barely any runs that we do nowadays that don't have triumphs in them, because they're so easy. Then we're like, one person's missing it, all right, we'll do it. Or like, and it's like the hardest part about it seems to be getting Eyes of Tomorrow to drop, because that's luck and not exactly skill.
Yeah,
right. So,
that's interesting to me, because I almost even have it, and I've never had a raid title in my life, because all I'm missing is the Red Rover challenge, the challenge in the third encounter, the non-rotating challenge in the third encounter where only one person has to deposit a bomb, and then I'm missing Eyes of Tomorrow. And then, of course, the bugged Arc Triumph, because I haven't fixed that yet. And then I have the title.
Sin got it, finally. Oh, yeah. And we did not run Arc through the whole raid, so...
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, because we only switched to Arc for the third encounter, because Sin needed it.
So it's just a random bug, then.
There's
nothing that tells us why it's happening yet.
No rhyme or reason.
Because I was sure that everyone was running Arc. I saw everyone super at least once with Arc.
In that instance, Kingsley wasn't running Arc in the encounter initially.
Yeah,
he changed midway because all of a sudden I see a Nova Bomb. I'm like, who's not running Arc?
Like, what's going on here?
This is not where I parked my Arc. I don't know.
There's definitely I don't know. That's weird. Weird.
Yeah. Because I've always like wanted to try to get like enlightened and stuff, because mainly because they didn't require the flawless and I can actually do it. But even still, like, Enlightened is still difficult. Like, the challenges in it are, like, incredibly difficult themselves to just change the encounter up so much. But, yeah, it interested me because when I saw a bunch of Descendants popping up and, like, people who I play with, who I would never expect to get the raid title, got it.
You would never expect Sin to get it.
Yeah. he plays this game like an hour every night to raid and then leaves before the raid's even done. Why would he get the title?
Oh, man. No, you guys awesome. Flatter me.
I love Sin. Not going to say it back. Wow. You okay, yeah, thank you.
Sin did get it Last of Us 3. So...
Last of Us 3.
Podcast host. Yeah. Anyways.
I might have gotten it twice by now, but yeah.
Oh, the... I know people have already gotten the Eyes of Tomorrow twice by now, so...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was actually my second and 21st runs.
Gotcha. I'm sure Kato's gotten it 3 times now. I think he said earlier when I was running Harbinger with him.
Oh, did he?
He got it his third time.
I was there for his second time.
Man, this out of context would be hilarious.
I know, right?
His first time, his second time, his third time. We were all there for it.
Well, you know, and for people that don't know who these names are, please join our Discord because we have a lovely group of people you can play with, and then you'll get to know names like Kato and everyone else that we might bring up from time to time.
That Lumina guy.
And that guy.
Not mentioning any names. Wicked.
Yeah. The Discord, honestly, is like the manga to the anime, or the light novel to the manga. Honestly, that's the way I look at it. And this is the anime. Death is the only one. Awesome. Okay, Kingsley laughed as well. I was like, Death is the only one that's going to laugh at that.
I know enough, but yeah. Oh, man. Those
friggin' weeaboos.
Yeah. Degenerates.
Degenerates.
My mom's one. She got into it. I got her into it all. Oh.
The only anime I watch is Studio Ghibli stuff.
Yeah,
which, I mean, I don't blame you. Yeah, and Studio Ghibli is, like, freaking amazing anyway.
Absolutely fun fact, amazing.
Before they started, like, doing movies and stuff, there was a certain 1980s American cartoon that outsourced their animation. And they weren't Studio Ghibli then, but they would become Studio Ghibli very shortly after. But they ended up doing the animation and drawing for the original Thundercats cartoon.
Oh, I watched that.
Yeah. So I found that freaking... It just, like, blew my mind, because I was a Thundercats kid. And yeah, you can definitely, like, once you know that, you can kind of see the similarities in, like, art styles. Even though they definitely Americanized it for Thundercats, because, you know, we needed big buff heroes at the time. Yeah, so. But still, you can definitely tell the similarities. So, I've ended up being a Studio Ghibli fan for a very long time.
Well, more recent. For my wife had watched a bunch of them in the past, but for people that don't know, they're all on HBO Max, so it's kind of easy to kind of pull them all up on there. Yeah.
Also, if you have a young child, Ponyo is amazing. Just saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ponyo is an incredibly weird Japanese take on The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Well, with a catchy song. Mollus will like that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely do it, Sin. And I hope they fall victim to the catchy song, because then it will be stuck in your head.
Not looking forward to that,
because when it came out, I think my daughter was still small enough to really enjoy it, and we watched it. She fell in love with it, and so she would actually be going around the house, like, singing the Ponyo song, and then it would get stuck in my head. So it's like, oh, it's great, you love a Studio Ghibli thing, you're gonna be a nerd just like me. And and it's like, oh, great, she's singing the song again.
Well, Sin's always singing Let It Go, so I need a new song in my head.
You know? Another fun fact, I went so many years without hearing that song.
Really?
So many years without hearing that song. Of course, I've heard the bits of the chorus, and I know the Let It Go part, sure. But I had not heard that song until I played Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, wow.
I didn't play that one.
That's a brilliant place to first hear it, I suppose.
Yes. That's the best place to first hear it, I'd say. Mm-hmm. No...
I'm sitting there playing, and they go through it, and I look at my wife, I'm like, that's the first time I've heard that song. Like, start to finish. She's like, really?
It's a way better place to hear it than, like, any child's mouth, so.
That's true. That's true. Like I said, I've been able to dodge that for years. But yeah, I didn't. And Kingdom Hearts have to freaking do a frozen world. And of course they have to feature that song.
Of course.
Of course.
It's not a bad song, though. It's pretty catchy.
Well, we better start wrapping up, but we do have a bonus question that we like to ask our guests. And that bonus question, Wicked, is what is your favorite car? No, our bonus question is...
Damn.
I should have actually kept going with that.
Warned me that it was going to be a different question earlier. And then say, hey, what's your favorite car? A person who doesn't know cars. I have a friend who knows cars way too much because he's... Yeah. My friend's a mechanic. He knows cars way too well. And when I'm in another Discord call, he'll be talking about cars... to people, and then I'll just go silent and mute myself because I'm not going to add anything to that conversation.
Right.
Same. Yeah, I don't either. That's probably why I thought of that right now. So Sin has a little bit to add to that, I'm sure.
Car dealer. But,
yeah.
They tire me. Cars tire me.
It's like, please no.
yeah, exactly. You're like, I do not want to talk about it. Yeah. All right, let's talk about
I'm out.
What's your favorite dessert? You can favorite go with that dessert. Any way you want.
Any way I want. Because when I think of desserts, I think of, like, cakey things. Like...
Well, whatever you constitute a dessert.
Because if I could, I'd say sushi. Because I like to eat sushi just, like, as a snack all the time. Mm-hmm. Since I have the ingredients to make it myself. But at the same time, I feel like it's too healthy to be considered a dessert. When I think of a dessert, I think of something incredibly unhealthy, like... So
some people eat fruit for dessert. So I guess it doesn't have to be unhealthy, but that makes sense. Again, go any way you want.
I'd say favorite dessert, even though I'm both slightly lactose intolerant and caffeine sensitive, I do really just like brownies like that. If you want to get to my heart, that's brownies. That's it. Just because it's mostly a texture because I'm a texture person. And the texture of brownies, especially when they're overcooked a little bit, and the outside is like crunchy, kind of, and the inside is melty, is the best. So, basic brownies, but I do like them cooked a specific way, or baked a specific way.
Yes,
slightly overdone.
Not those cake brownies that are like cake, right? They need to be like a little bit caramelized and crispy on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
almost like good, like lava cake or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, speaking of like textures, the bonus favorite food is sushi. Just because everything you can put in sushi, like typically you put like say either carrots or cucumber in like with it, and then you have. What was that? I thought you said something, but I guess you were just agreeing.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Go on.
But, the mixture of like the fish, rice, the wrap, especially the sushi wrap, and the whatever else you want to put in it, like carrots, cucumbers, even avocado if you really want to. I've tried it, I don't like it that much. I really love sushi just because no matter what taste I want, I feel like I can always make that taste in sushi. As long as I'm like, you know, as long as I'm wanting rice at least, because that's one thing that's always going to be in sushi.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really it.
Oh, excellent. We will have to add these entries to our never coming out Guardian Hub cookbook.
Or award-winning Guardian Hub cookbook.
are award-winning. It's so award-winning that it's off the shelf, so you cannot find it anywhere right now.
And literally, promise. It's so much demand, it literally everyone acts like it doesn't exist, so no one thinks that they have it.
But if you want a special signed copy from Sin, please send us $1,000 in our Discord somehow. That doesn't make sense. But send us some money, and we will get you a copy. And Sin will sign it.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on, Wicked. Really good to talk to you one-on-one in the podcast. And, you know, we play with you a lot. And, boy, it's been a while since we did that Zoom. Probably coming up
a year.
A few more months from now. I don't remember exactly when we did that episode.
I'm pretty sure it was our year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so definitely a much more peaceful experience doing this.
That was
four of us.
Yeah.
Like just sitting back in, because like again, I'm laying on my bed currently.
Nice.
Just laying back talking. So this is nice. I did like this.
Nice.
It was very sporadic as well. It was like, hey, I put up the numbers of my testing, and you're like, hey, you want to come in? Yeah, sure, I'll come in. All right, let's do it.
Nice. Yeah, that's how we roll. Sometimes we plan guests ahead of time. Sometimes we don't. But
I know it's very sporadic. It's like, hey, you finished this thing, then we'll record. It's like, sure. Okay, it'll be a minute using the bathroom. I hop in. Here's Wicked. It's like, oh, all right.
Does that make, I know, right? Does that make
surprise guest.
The antithesis of Guardian Down. We do not do segments.
Right?
We do last minute guests.
Yep. This is not planned at all. We are.
We have better raiders. I'm sorry, what?
Shots fired.
I mean, we do, though.
Because we don't spend so much time on our podcast.
Oh. I remember I looked at one of those and it was like 4 hours long and I said, nope, turned it off.
Oh, well, they're awesome. I mean, yeah, that you got to just sometimes just put that on when you're driving around or doing work or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's so many good Destiny podcasts out there. And I mean, we're going to be pushing hour 45, 2 hours tonight. So it's been fun talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As I stuff my face with a chocolate chip cookie.
I need to make one as well. I have the mix to do it.
All right. Well, I guess we better
call it there.
Call it there, but please tell people how people can get a hold of you if you so desire. All your stuff.
Oh, that's right. Well, the only, of course, the Discord will be the quickest and easiest way to contact me. I'm right now I'm Wicked, but soon I probably will be under the tag Lumina, just because that's what everyone knows me for anyway. But in terms of social medias and other stuff, I have a Twitter. My Twitter is just TJ Cardell or at Wicked070. I don't post often. Most of my posts are just pictures of raids or just random things that happened. I guess that's most of Twitter, though, isn't it? But
right.
Mm-hmm. But that is really it. I don't really have many social media platforms because I don't like social media.
Hey, so, no, that works.
Right?
Yeah. As long as we know how to find you in the Discord and in the game, that's what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and in my PSN tag, since I play on PS4, is Wicked, and then I can't even remember the numbers after, even though it's my birthday. That's what is it again? I don't even remember the
order. Your birthday, okay.
Well, it's because I don't care anymore.
That's pretty awesome. You've reached elite level there.
Not caring about my birthday.
I don't think I could forget my birthday, even if I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
60804.
Oh yeah, 060804. So Wicked 060804 is my PSN tag. Yeah. That's it.
Hey, we know how old you are.
had to look on my friends list to to get it.
Yeah, honestly, it's because the thing that throws me off is I can't remember the order I did it in, of like day, month, year, or month, day, year.
Yeah.
That was what got me.
U.S. versus other parts of the world versus whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is all my stuff you can find me on.
All right. Sin, where can people find you? Any other live updates in the game, by the way?
No. I told you I'm playing. Gotcha.
If you have any live updates there that are interesting.
No. I just can't remember all the controls. So I'm just kind of putzing around, walking around in a circle at the moment. But yes, you can find me over on twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin of CYN, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, that guy.
That guy. We can find that guy on the Discord, usually lurking, but usually involved in some interesting conversations or mock debates with Wicked/Lumina. Don't worry if you ever see a mock debate. We're not serious. It's fine. It's how me and Wicked communicate.
It'll seem like a slug match, but really we're probably laughing.
Right.
Probably crying laughing doing it.
Because that's also half the time or how our raids turn out too.
Yes. So
jabs here and there throughout the entire thing. It's great. It's fun. It's fantastic. So hop in the Discord. Check us out. Be potentially of our conditions, which were fun. And you can find me on Twitter at @DES_Raven. Kingsley?
Yes, you can find me as Kingsley Mac on all the places, including Twitch, where I stream occasionally, mostly when I'm just raiding. All right, well, Wicked, we want to thank you again for coming out tonight to join us on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Yep, it feels good to finally feel like I didn't cheat my podcast guest role on the Discord now that everyone says I cheated. I can officially say I've been a special guest on the podcast, and no one can take it away from me now.
He's okay. Legitimate now.
It was
we'll
a pleasure.
We'll have to have special guest tag next.
Yes.
Validated. Right, well, there we go.
Validated, yep. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in one more week, and we really appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Later, man.
Bye.